Hello, friends, and welcome to the show. This episode of HR Oxygen is brought to you by Boss Builders. Right now, you are probably working virtually. Your management team is working virtually. And I know they're working hard, but I also know that everybody probably has a little time in their schedule. You know, this is the perfect time to get your managers the training they need to be successful. At Boss Builders, we have our very popular Boss Builder Academy that is designed for times just like this. In as little as 5 or 6 minutes a week, you can get management lessons that'll help build the competency and the confidence of your managers. For more information, check us out online at thebossbuilders.com. Our guest today is Katie Parker. Katie's a friend of mine. She's an HR consultant. She's somebody in the Nashville area that I always manage to run into when I go places. Of course, we haven't gone anywhere in a while, but I wanted to have her on the show today because the topic is how to maximize HR in times of COVID-19. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what it means to be virtual and do HR. We're also going to talk about Katie's favorite subject, which is business ethics and what companies need to know right now as they are doing business in this very strange time. More importantly, how will they be successful when this time transitions? So let's quit talking about Katie. Let's talk to her. You know what to do. Put that personal item under the seat in front of you. Buckle up. It's time to take off.
Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
So, Katie Parker, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Mac.
Yeah, I had you on our sister podcast, Boss Builder Podcast. I guess it was maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit more. And we talked about business ethics. And so actually, my wife has been using that podcast in one of her college classes. And I see you periodically on LinkedIn. And I don't think I've run into any meetings lately because we haven't gone. These are HR meetings, not the other kind of meetings. But but then I just happened to stumble upon you again on LinkedIn. And I thought, gosh, I need to see how Katie's doing. And so we connected and I thought, let's do something on HR Oxygen. So, so Katie, for those who don't know you, tell the world about you.
Yeah. Katie Parker. That's a new last name for me. But yeah, when I was on your podcast before, I think I was midway through maybe my MBA or just starting my PhD.
I think you were starting your PhD.
All right. So all with the focus on HR, specifically ethics, as you mentioned. Just to give a little backstory to the audience, I started my earliest career in retail management and just felt really drawn to everything that HR does. People development, tough conversations, even the business partnership aspects just intrigued me so much. So I went that track, pursued my education that way, and then also had the opportunity pretty early on to start doing some consulting with small businesses and working with startups. And that's kind of where my path has led. So I've been working with growing startups, tech companies, lots of various industries, but just really loving it. And right now is a tough time, but you know, like you said, I'm getting out there on LinkedIn and trying to stay positive and optimistic and be of service.
Yeah, and you were in the Nashville area. I think was the very first time I met you at the state meeting in Nashville. I think it was 3 years ago, wasn't it?
So yeah, so we met, I think, at the Tennessee SHRM conference. And then I saw you speak again, not shortly after, at the Williamson County SHRM meeting. And at that point, I think after we reconnected then, we met up for coffee and just probably talked for a couple hours, I remember.
Yeah, and then I ran into you again at Panera, I guess, where you were doing some work. So it's kind of fun. I think, in fact, one time I didn't tell you this, but I happened to see you and I thought, no, I got to really get going. Otherwise, because whenever we talk, it kind of just goes on forever. So
it does.
I'll tell you that now on the air so that you won't get mad at me.
No. That's really good. I love it. I know how that is to be on the receiving end if somebody's not ready, but I do the same thing. Like, oh.
No, I mean, I wanted to. I just had, it was late to getting some. That was back when we had appointments to go to. Remember what that was like?
I almost remember that. Almost. It's vaguely familiar.
What do you miss most of your former life now that you've been quarantined for, I don't know, I guess here in Tennessee, it's only been since what, April 7th or 8th or something? It hasn't been that long that we're forced to be in.
Without a doubt, I miss the gym the most.
Okay.
I miss the gym. For me, it was just such a healthy thing to get my mind and, you know, balance and quiet space. And I never was an athletic person until about a year ago. And then it was almost a daily thing for me. And it really improved, you know, my work, my friends, my family, all my relationships. So yeah, I find myself missing that a good bit, you know, because you can just sit, you know, on the elliptical and suddenly, you know, you're listening to a podcast, you're listening to an audiobook, and you just have so many free flowing ideas. And, you know, there's no pressure to deliver or brainstorm with a team or, a need to. You just can think freely. And I miss that.
Yeah. Where were you working out?
So I joined a gym, Workout Anytime.
Okay.
And, it was just one of those facilities where you can go, literally it's open 24 hours a day. You can get in with your little pass. And that suited me, you know. I would go in not peak times, and I've kind of always had some flexibility in my scheduling, whether it's consulting or working with specific companies. I have had a lot of control over my schedule. So going at, you know, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon to break up my meetings in the afternoon and then finish up after that, it was just so great.
Yeah. Well, I guess from what I understand, after May 1st, I think all the gyms are going to open back up. So I don't know. I belong to the Planet Fitness here in Dixon, and I'm a little bit leery about going in there because people even before that, they sweat all over everything and people scratching their nose and rubbing the things. And so I don't think I'm paranoid, but I guess I'm just more hyper aware of those things now. So I'm not sure. I might just keep running outside.
You know, it's interesting that you say that too, because I feel the same way just because it becomes legal. I don't know that I really want to. I mean, I think like COVID-19 has brought all of us hopefully more awareness about how our actions might impact things. And if there's still a chance for us to have another peak, you know, in this disease, this virus, I don't want to be a part of it, not only for myself, but I don't want to wonder if like I had it and didn't have any symptoms and passed it to somebody. That would be awful. And I think, you know, bringing it back to HR, I think like a lot of HR professionals are thinking about similar concerns of, you know, just because we're allowed to go back, like, does that mean that we all should day one that we're allowed to, or do we, you know, change the layout of our offices, or, you know, everybody's been working remote because we have to, do we change our remote work policies now? There's just so many questions I think that we weren't really thinking about before this.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of what we hear at HR conferences is I want to see it at the table. I want to see it at the table. And what I've seen is that now the HR people have been dragged to the table and they're expected to lead the discussion at the table. And I think, boy, where were you guys when I was trying to get there all along? And now suddenly you listen to me. And I think this is going to be a new reality where HR suddenly, I really hope this, that people start treating you all with a lot more respect.
I hope so, but also I think that respect is earned. You know, we do have a pretty big opportunity right now, and I think this is the best time to retool and continue learning and looking for ways to innovate and do better at our own work. You know, I don't really believe that we're given a seat at the table. I really feel, Mac, like we earn it. But you're certainly right. I feel like there's more opportunity to speak at the table.
Yeah. Well, and I think the neat thing too, it's speaking, we're going to actually listen this time as if, you know, HR people have this inside track on how human minds and behaviors work. I think we all could do it. It's just, you know, you all have just paid attention to it more. And I really, I keep thinking the longer that we're in the situation where we're non-traditional, I think the harder it's going to be for people to come back and to function well. I mean, there's people, and I've sort of seen this now because this has gone on for a while. At first, people would, really get themselves all dressed up and ready to go for their Zoom meeting. And now it's like, in fact, I think Walmart said they're selling far more shirts than pants. So people might throw a clean shirt on, but, be wearing a pair of shorts or whatever. And so I wonder how that's going to translate back into the workforce. Let's just pretend, Katie, that by some miracle, COVID-19 decides to just fizzle off and die by July 4th. So let's pretend 4th of July is the day that we act like this never happened. Mm-hmm. What do you suppose the workplace is going to look like on the first day back at work?
July 4th, new independence from COVID.
Shared, there you go.
Shared worldwide.
Now we're free. We can do whatever we want. But we have to go back to work.
But we have to go back to work. There is a little bit of a pessimistic side to me that says you have a really tough mental health situation for all of your employees. Because even if our employees have retained their jobs throughout COVID, there's an incredible amount of stress and anxiety that they experienced. So I'm sure you're going to have a mix of relief and joy to get back and be there, but also change is hard no matter how you look at it, how you slice it. So, I think we're going to have to change if we want to just keep rolling. We can't just pick up where we left off. It will be impossible for our workforce.
I'm not sure we remember where we left off anymore.
That's such a good point. I know you were like, what are you going to miss most? Like, I don't even remember hardly going into an office 9 to 5. And there was a point last fall where I was doing it. So that dress code, though, that is an incredibly interesting thing to think about, though. I mean, I've seen some more wittier HR guidance on the Zoom meetings where, this is the dress code. Tops and bottoms must be worn. Feel free to wear your costumes as long as your face is visible.
And this from the one that showed up in a Wonder Woman costume.
I know. I take myself way too seriously, Mac. Like, I will be the first to admit this. And it's just it's a stressful time. I knew I had this call reconnecting with someone from years ago that I've kept in touch with. And I saw the costume packed away in the closet and I said, this is perfect. This is what I need. It's a dose of humility. Maybe someone else will find it comedic, but it's what I need to do. And address.
Well, it's a good thing it didn't show up on LinkedIn, right?
Oh, right. No, it did. It was so fun.
I know. I just saw it this morning. I thought, well, okay then.
Yeah. I don't know how everybody received it, It certainly was in jest, but...
I think that's what people need, though. When this first started, people were kind of doing their toilet paper hoarding and whatever it was. And then there was the humor, and then the humor continued to grow. And I think it was last week was the first week. And I actually asked a few of my colleagues that I felt like people finally hit the wall and people really didn't do well last week. And this week is starting out much of the same, where now there's not a whole lot of humor in it. Now people are really feeling the stress of it. And so maybe you fight back as Wonder Woman. With me, I don't know. I just kind of do what I'm going to do. But I think that that's one thing we wanted to talk about today is, how do you pull yourself together during times like this and be able to, and that's the challenge. An HR professional is kind of like a parent, right? There's always somebody who wants your attention and who's, in a sense, draining your energy. And you have to be strong for all that. I mean, how do you do it, Katie, besides dressing up as Wonder Woman?
Yeah, well, I looked to the experts as I am wont to do. Early on, I saw all the tips from our executive coaches out there in the world and dress professionally for work, have your routine. To be honest, I just found it wasn't working for me because, like I said, I take myself way too seriously. So I'm kind of to the point where I need that humor. I need to focus on those small bits of action or positivity that I can take for myself. Capture my wins, so to speak, in the actions that I'm taking for my business or for my clients, and be really thankful for the time that I am having with my kids, as stressful as that can be. I've reconnected with my siblings. Of course, Zoom has been around for how many years, but this is, you know, the first time we're doing board game nights over Zoom, Friday nights. So I just found like I need to not take myself so seriously and plan in time to just breathe.
Yeah, I think if you can come out of this better for the experience intellectually, then you've done all that you can. And it's kind of like I read a book about the prisoners who were in Vietnam. They were in the Hanoi Hilton. Mm. Of course, it was John McCain and several others. And a lot of these guys have now died off. But one of the things that they would do is because they had, in some cases, over a year in solitary confinement, is that they would build a house in their head, nail by nail. And that's how they would occupy their time. So, you know, in total isolation, in fact, there's one story, I'm not even sure if it's true. It was Zig Ziglar actually recounted it, where one guy actually played golf in his mind every day. And he would visualize the course, he could hear the birds, and he would play the same course every day, day after day for years. And when he was released, he went out to play golf the very first day and he shot his best score ever after not having lifted a club in like 6 years.
Wow, so that's a cool story.
The mind is powerful. True. And yeah, think about, you know, what you can do during this time. So it sounds like you've really worked on some personal and professional development then, right?
Yeah. And gosh, Mac, it is so exciting to look at all the content available. This is like my nerd academic side coming out, but there's so much we have access to right now. So much through, you know, LinkedIn Learning or YouTube or all these organizational development platforms, just so many organizations putting their great content and learning opportunities for free. I mean, I think, you know, you can actually learn to code with really reputable programs for free right now. You know, any skills that you've been interested in, like, you can do it right now. There's no limitation as far as I can see. So yeah, keeping your mind busy has been a huge thing for me.
What has been one new skill that you've learned or a skill that you've had that you've really built in just this short time we've sort of been quarantined?
I would say intentionally connecting. As you mentioned, how we met and then kept in touch and kind of built that relationship, that was something I had kind of done, I don't even know how to say it, not full on, not intentionally, not with like, you know, full vigor, I guess. I knew I was very sociable and extroverted and outgoing. You know, I can talk your ear off. I can ask questions for days and keep someone else talking. But, you know, when you can meet in person, that's pretty easy. And I've just found myself being able to push past the virtual world and connect with people literally anywhere. Like since putting that original post out that I put about looking for additional consulting and offering some pro bono work. Mm-hmm. I've connected with a venture capitalist in Cameroon, startup tech entrepreneur in Germany, places all over the US, talking with, you know, people being laid off, looking at their resumes, various cities all over the US. I mean, it's just been incredible. And I've just kind of applied the basic stuff I was doing intuitively in connecting, but, you know, more methodically. And like, this is my person, I have this in common with them, and I'm going to connect and see how they're doing. Because, you know, COVID's happening. And it's just a human touch. And then following up on that, you know, that connection, and then, you know, all these little sparks are happening. It's pretty cool. I know it doesn't seem that big, but I know I feel proud of myself for, you know, committing to it. And, you know, it's business development, as someone might say, but I mean, for me, it's not about sales. It's kind of like a basic skill, no matter what industry you're in, that's pretty hard for people to develop on their own.
Well, I think too, that human beings, you know, when you take us back down, I guess, just physiologically, we're people that are created to be connected to people. And there's some that can, you know, be away. I mean, personally, me, I have to say, I haven't really suffered in this because I'm used to being alone most of the time. Anyway, I travel a lot and it's just me and my wife. And so I don't really miss the meetings and the human connection, but for some, I mean, I had a Zoom call with a client that we'll be working with in a few months. And truthfully, I couldn't get her off the Zoom. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just was like, okay, first of all, I had to use the bathroom and I'm like, come on, we got to get going. And then I knew we had our podcast coming up, but it's almost like she just couldn't let go. It's like, I have humans on the phone, you know, Lisa and I were on with her and I just think, boy, this has really thrown people. I hope that all of the connections that I've made, that I'll still have the time to continue to work on those. Because again, you know, remember we always used the excuse, I'm busy. Mm. Hey, have you, you know, I thought you're going to email, I've just been busy. Okay, that's not true anymore. So that excuse has completely gone out the window. And I think now we have to figure out a way when we all start, you know, going back to work and getting things rolling, how do we stay connected? Because you've built some, it sounds like some really solid relationships with people you may not have ever run into.
No, never. Never. I mean, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined just so many of the connections. I did have one of those calls this morning, though. I know what you're talking about. And I felt like, wow, like this is smooth. Normally, I'm the one that keeps someone else talking forever. And I'm just like, wow, this person does not want to get off this call, you know? Like, you can just sense like the desperation, I think, sometimes, and it just like it's heart wrenching. And there's only so much each of us can do, right? You know, connect, mm-hmm. be present, and I can only share so many insights I have from looking at your LinkedIn profile and, you know, pointing you to X people in my network that might have a tip for you, you know. So as far as like the hard value I'm delivering to them, like that ended probably like 30 minutes ago. But man, that human connection is tough right now.
Yeah. But I think, you know, if you're there, it's ironic. So yesterday I had an interview with an outplacement person, Iris Culp. It was a great interview on, because this is a reality. A lot of companies are laying off. And back in the recession, when we lived in Maryland, I had done a little contract work for an outplacement firm. And then I had done a little outplacement work for University of Maryland. And so a few of the people that I had helped stayed on my LinkedIn. And I just commented to Iris yesterday, yeah, you know, a few people every now and then reach out. Well, of all things, I get a direct message from somebody who I worked with in 2008, in 28. And he's like it's never, we've never been disconnected. He's now again in transition. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny, like, man, of all the people you might've met in 2008, it's the ones that you had somehow been able to help in a certain way, always seem to remember. So in a way, you know, like they say now with the stock market down, this is the best time to buy stocks because when the market goes strong, you'll have more shares. I think, do you think it's kind of the same way with people?
Oh yeah. That's one thing I'm definitely doubling down on, is it's never a bad time to serve, but especially when so many people have this level of need, like it's the perfect time to serve. And, you know, fortunately, I am in a position to serve. Like, it's not easy for me either. I'm very challenged by this, stressed out, all of the things. But I also know I do have some value that I can add. So, you know, to me, that means that's my time to serve and offer myself to others to connect, or, you know, do consulting or anything that's in my skill set. I really think this is the time to do it.
So in the offer, because that's where I think that's where I saw, who in the world is Katie Parkey? She looks like Katie Russell. you made a video talking about offering some 30-minute sessions. Have a lot of people taken you up on that?
Honestly, I've had a lot of conversations. Nobody has fully taken me up on it yet. But I've had more interest than I've had in 2020 so far. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm talking about a lot of different kinds of projects than people were talking about before. You know, I had a couple things in my pipeline that just had to come to a stop. You know, and I just kind of decided like I was going to stop feeling sorry for myself just sitting around being like every other small business entrepreneur or consultant that didn't have work and do something about it. I mean, because my passion is to do the work and to help people. And why not do that pro bono? I know of tons of consultants and executive coaches that do all kinds of pro bono work regularly for nonprofits. And it just got me thinking, like, right now, nonprofits, of course, there's still a need, but like the need is with my people, entrepreneurs and small business owners. So why can't I? Like, what's the rule on offering pro bono service? And I just decided there is no rule. I'm going to do it. And, you know, any business can take me up on the 15 hours free, and that could be it. You know, if it's a bigger project and they need more help, they want to take on more work, cool. Let's do a whole nother month at half my rate, you know? Because I really think right now is the time to really ask the hard questions, look at, you know, where your people brand is, where your culture is, and integrate that business and HR perspective. Let's talk about new technology we could be using to, you know, make your Sally HR professional breathe easier, right? That HR oxygen, like,
yeah,
what tools can we put in place right now to make it easier when we all go back? How can we change this, like, unprecedented moment in the world to put small businesses and startups ahead? So that was really thought. And like I said, no one's taken me up on it yet, but
I think people are just afraid of free, right? Because it's like the old, like you get a pass to go to Orlando with your family and you get free Disney tickets.
And you just sit down for a 6-hour conversation to buy a timeshare.
Yeah. All you have to do is go to this presentation.
Right.
And it's only an hour, and then, you know, then you're roped in. I think that's what people are wary of. I hope that this is change people's wariness about, because there are plenty of people who would probably do the wrong thing. But I think the people that really are the true experts are the ones that are saying, I'm just going to donate my stuff and we'll just put ourselves out there. And, you know, I really hope that people will take you up on that. And when we finish, I'm going to let you tell us where to go for that.
Yeah.
I thought it was 15 minutes. You said 15 hours?
15 hours. Yeah.
Good Lord, that's awesome.
We could do a good bit in 15 hours. You know, I could develop a whole recruiting process and procedures in that amount of time. I could do, probably for a small business, I could do a handbook review in that amount of time.
That's a pretty good deal.
There are so many things that can happen in 15 hours. But then again, if it's a big project, like let's say you want to look at scaling and what is your long-term talent pipeline and strategy. I mean, that might take longer, or doing a full-on organizational assessment. I love those. Those are amazing. That's definitely more than a 15-hour project. But a lot of the organizational development, the OD stuff, I mean, I think it's the perfect time to do like a compensation analysis. I know we've got HR people out there that are like, this lady is weird. She sounds like she likes this compensation analysis. I do. I admit it. It's weird, but there's just so much we can do.
Yeah, I think that's. I appreciate you doing that. This community of all, I think, really needs somebody to come alongside them. And yeah, you're the real deal. I mean, you know your stuff. So I'm excited. Before I let you give us that, I do want to ask you a question, because when we had you on the Boss Builder podcast, the topic was ethics. Mm. And I know that's something that's probably still important to you. So think about companies now where the rules have basically just been thrown out. How do business ethics impact an organization, both not only just now in the middle of the crisis, but like when we pull out of this thing?
I love that question. First of all, you know me very well. Ethics is my burning passion. And something I've discovered over the years is that it's a lot easier to start off with asking the right questions and starting down a path to ethical employee engagement and compliance and all of those things than it is to take big machine and turn it around. I did have a few experiences where I worked with companies where that was the case. And that's kind of why I've gravitated more to small businesses and startups, because, you know, either they have one or two HR, you know, team members, or they don't have any. And they have maybe the CFO or an ops manager just kind of keeping one eye sometimes on HR. And gosh, that's the perfect time to have someone assist you with putting the right practices in place. Not only I think is it like the right time from a business argument, but like ultimately the best thing that you could do, because it feels like you said, all the rules are out the window right now. But the The truth is that it's not. There are still lots of laws in place, and that, you know, ethics is more than compliance. I spoke with one person this past week that is starting a business and has a few people working for free, and that raised some alarm bells for me. You know, and they're asking me to, you know, how do I onboard them, and, you know, wanting to do the right thing. But gosh, there are some problems with that scenario, right? So
right.
we have to think about it. We have to think about how we're doing business right now, how we plan to do business after COVID. Like, what does that say about us? Is it ethical? What are the consequences of what we're doing? You know, and the financial consequences are front and center of everybody's mind, whether you're an employee, an employer, a manager in between. That's like the highest level of fear. But there are so many other things to consider as far as ethics goes. You know, the quality of the workplace, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the mental health aspect of coming back to work. Or, you know, one thing I'm interested to see is, now that people have worked from home and there's this unprecedented amount of anxiety and depression, and, you know, figures are pointing to probably a good bit of substance abuse or alcoholism, you know, what are we going to do with our EAP programs, and how are we going to respond to providing accommodations for employees with those needs and provide them transitions and accommodations? So maybe we do let them work at home, or are we going to provide them with resources and programs so that they can be empowered and get healthy again? To me, those are the ethical questions we have the perfect time right now to ask, and we should be asking right now.
Well, it seems like when this is over with, there's going to be a number of businesses that are not going to come back. There's going to be some that come back the same as before, but I think everybody's going to see it differently. And part of it is, how are we going to be viewed? I keep thinking about the Shake Shack that decided to give the loan back.
Huge.
Yeah. And I've seen them. They were on 60 Minutes, and the guy that runs the place seems like a pretty straight up guy. And yet others, like what's the other one, the Ruth Chris, they're like, they're not going to take it. And fine, it's there for them. But I guess Shake Shack, and I guess probably says, you know, yeah, we could certainly use this, but there's others that could use it more. And, you know, that's a place where I would consider doing business, because I think they did the right thing when the chips were down. I think that, you know, an airline, for example, you know, I mean, do people have compassion for them? They've been gouging us for the past 5 years of travel.
Yeah.
And they're suddenly broke after 1 month. And, you know, what's going to happen when we go? Are we going to still be wedged in the time? I mean, I fly Southwest, so I can usually pick my seat. But, you know, how will people view something like that, that's taken a bailout? And what will they do in terms of being kind to others? Will they say, from now on, we're going to eliminate the middle seat? I mean, you did that, you'd have me as a loyal passenger forever. But so I think this is a time. And I guess the longer this goes, the further back will be the memories of what life was like before this. So it's a chance for a company that maybe had a shady reputation to change it. And it's time for a company that had a good one to figure out how to continue to grow it and make it where it's even more relevant and stronger. And even the conversation I had with Iris yesterday, how do you treat people when you have to let them go?
Yeah, that's huge.
You know, they'll remember that. And, you know, you can be let go with some dignity and grace, and you could also just have it done the wrong way. And then, you know, it's going to reflect. So I think this is a terrible time, and I think it's going to go down. And certainly, well, I've been around long enough to have seen several crises. For you, this will probably be the defining event for you. And, you know, people will look to you and say, you know, Katie Parker, now that you're 70 years old, tell us what things were like during the great pandemic. And, you know, you'll have all these lessons of companies that did it well. So it'll be good for you.
I think, too, one thing that I want to point out, too, is in regards to ethics, we have a massive opportunity to plug into our employees and listen. So employee engagement it's been a hot trend for how many years now? And one of the classic problems with our engagement programs is that we don't listen and we don't change things. As far as ethics go, I think our employees are very willing to tell us where they feel it's unethical business practices. And gosh, let's listen, you know, everything is changing before our eyes. Let's listen. Not only will our brands improve, but, you know, the quality of work for our employees could really be impacted in a positive way.
Yeah, I think it's going to be scary and exciting all in the same. So, well, Katie, does your 15 hours of pro bono help, is that deal still on?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm offering that throughout this month. I think I started it around the 14th or 15th of April. So through the middle of May.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Absolutely. So that, and there's really, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can help a company with. I mean, would you even be willing to look at helping people think about a transition plan back to normal?
Sure. Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. The workplace design, like I mentioned before, some of the things around that transition, virtual work, accommodations for mental health type stuff. Absolutely. I think that would be a really fun project to work on.
Good. Okay. So the big question is, now, if you're listening to this, this podcast will probably drop on April the 16th. Let's just say the 16th. So you have a few weeks to get this done. So where do we go to find you, first of all, Katie? And then how do we take you up on that offer?
For sure. The easiest way is to connect with me on LinkedIn, or you can email me. My consulting brand is katiecrawfordrussell@gmail.com. You can search me under Katie Parker on LinkedIn, though, and I should pop up. And let's start the conversation. Let's see how I can be of service to you. Let's
great.
Let's change some things.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Katie, I'm so glad that we were able to reconnect and spend a little bit of time together. And again, if you're listening today, please take her up on the offer. I don't have people on the show that I would not trust to help me with my own business. And Katie is the real deal. And Katie, I would say it's time to hit the road, but you're already home. So I guess it's time for you to go into the other room and, you know, go back into mom mode. But again, thank you so much for giving us some time this afternoon. And it's just really nice to catch up with you again.
Oh, Mac, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.